Every day, thousands of Comcast engineers and technologists like Leslie put people at the heart of everything they create.
With my team at Comcast, we developed the Xfinity Voice Remote and tested it to recognize different types of accents, inflections, and languages.
New movies?
Movies for kids.
Películas para las familias.
Now 40 million voice commands a day are heard by the Xfinity Voice Remote. Visit ComcastCorporation.com to learn more.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
The Home Squad are with me this afternoon to discuss built-in versus freestanding furniture. What are your views? To chat today, I'm joined by Jennifer Sheehan, Irish Examiner columnist and, of course, former winner of Home of the Year, and Colin Baker from Deckwell's Expert Hardware. Thanks a million to you both for joining us. 087 1400 106, that is the WhatsApp number. Jennifer, I remember from your time on Home of the Year, the show, you have a lot of built-in furniture sections in your house.
Somewhat born of necessity, I would say.
I'm exactly in the same position as you. So
there's probably two instances where you really kind of have to go built in. And that is one, if you really need to make best use of the space. So my entire house is about 60 metres squared post renovation. So I definitely needed to do that. And then the other is if you have a very awkward space. So, you know, underneath your alcoves, or you have a funny area where you need to build in wardrobes or something like that, you kind of have to.
Yeah. I have in the box room those, you know, that where you sort of lose some of the room to the part of the stairs, you know, that kind of box unit to cover the stairs. And then there's a kind of the window at the front sort of arches a little bit. So there's a real pokey section that you could get absolutely nothing in. And I managed to get, just put in shelves for shoes.
Perfect.
Something very simple. Mm. But it is quite difficult. So you're a fan, obviously, of built-in furniture.
I think there's pros and cons. So yeah. I think what you're describing, there's some lovely features there, right? That little curved window and all that. If you have somebody really good, they can not only give you back a whole bunch of space where you can't just, you know, plonk down a unit or a wardrobe or whatever, but they can even highlight those features and turn it into something really unique and gorgeous. There's a risk, though, because not everyone is the most amazing installer of all time, and I'm sorry, but you know, there's some, you have to make sure you're finding the right tradesperson, because there's nothing worse than having that kind of a bit of a gap, or it's not quite the right
finish.
You're
being very diplomatic about that, Jennifer, and slightly hushed there, but I can see in your face it's come from bitter experience.
Yeah. It's expensive, right? No, if you get it wrong, it's really expensive.
You've touched on a real problem in society at the moment, which is a double-edged sword in a sense. One, that the ability and the cost of getting and obtaining competent resources. So people who are going to turn up on time, a time that suits you, with the skills that they need to do a good job at a reasonable price, that's just like ancient history. That just doesn't happen
ghosted.
A whole lot anymore.
I'm trying to get a plumber at the moment. Mark, really? The plumber, if you're listening to me now, stop ghosting me. Come on, fix my sink. It's so hard to get anyone.
But that spins back to another point I have, and we're seeing all the time, that as we become more affluent, the base skills of DIY, of cutting a piece of timber, of measuring up those shelves in that box room and positioning them in the corner the right way so that, you know, one, they look decent and two, they don't fall down 3 days later. And maybe three, you don't, you know, chop off your three left fingers in the process. Those skills have depleted as we've become busier people and more involved.
We need someone to do it for us.
Well, exactly.
So I know you're in the hardware business. Your advice for people, Colin, who are maybe thinking about installing or doing their own DIY built-in furniture?
A couple of things I'd say about that. Look, back to your point about optimising. When most of us in Dublin need more space. Yeah. Very few people say, oh no, I've loads of space.
Yeah. Too much space.
I don't know where I'm going to put all my money.
I can't store it.
Exactly. And most people are, you know, kind of struggling to some degree, and they don't want to have to spend €500 on a chap to come by and build a dodgy, coffee table or whatever. So actually, solidifying your DIY skills is really, really important and very, very valuable use of your time.
Yourself.
YouTube is your friend and ChatGPT is your friend, I would say that.
Really?
But even more so, and this sounds like I'm tooting our own trumpet here, but going to experts, like there's a chain. I work for one of the stores, Expert Hardware, over in George Street. There's 50 or 60 of them around the country. And these are lads, as you said before in conversation outside, Jennifer, these lads you walk into, they've been answering these these questions, they can finish your sentence most of the time before you're finished. Like, I know what you're looking for.
Yeah.
That knowledge isn't replaced by the internet. We actually see people coming in all the time with problems that have actually been caused by them asking the wrong questions on the internet and getting the wrong answers for the wrong region.
Let's try answer some of those questions for our listeners today. We've loads coming in. It's 087 1400 106. This texter says, the built-in wardrobes in my house had to be pulled out when we got internal insulation. The spaces are quite odd shaped, so I won't be able to buy things from the likes of IKEA. How do I make them myself?
Yeah, well, look, there's various ways of doing that. For starters, you can buy kits online, and you can buy, I think some of the expert hardware stores might have them, but certainly the Panelling Centre, any of your timber providers.
I'll give a shout out to the Panelling Centre.
Absolutely.
Did you? Yeah. They do customs. You send in, you need to get really good at measuring, listener. This is critical.
Yeah.
So great to have a measuring tape, measure everything three times, but buy a laser measure. I think they could be about €50, but it will be irreplaceable.
Yeah.
You'll use it all the time. Get your measurements and then go to somewhere like the Panelling Centre. Or another suggestion I would make is there's a great website, if you feel handy, called IkeaHackers.com, and they will tell you how to customise standard IKEA pieces of furniture, if that's, you know, if that's what you're in the market for.
IkeaHackers.com. I must look that up.
And go with your measurements then into somewhere, you know, like Expert Hardware or one of those hardware shops. But go early, I would say. This is what I'm thinking of doing. What do I need?
Before taking your time to prepare for these things, have the right tools, do your measurements. I had a lady last week, she got the wrong measurements, but she used the measuring tool on the iPhone, which is very good for guesstimating.
What's the measuring tool on the iPhone?
Actually, if you look on your iPhone, it's built in already.
Oh, yeah.
Just look up measure.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like a camera, but you point it at the thing you want to measure, the door opening or the frame or the length of timber or whatever. And you click it on one end and click it on the other, and it gives you an approximation.
There's your laser.
And it's pretty accurate.
It's
you don't want to do your wardrobes
accurate.
With it. So go to the Panelling Centre, get your stuff. Make sure you have the right tools. Preparation is absolutely key. And then get the advice.
Okay.
Because these people are very happy to have their ear bent and their expertise tested.
Now, we've a bedroom with an odd-shaped wall because the stairs come up that wall in the landing, so it's all quite sloped. Is there a good way to build around it? This is the exact position that I was in. In the box room, I went, I think off your advice initially, Jennifer, 2 years ago, I went to it's not an ad or a plug or anything, it's not an ad and I paid for the products, but I went to the Organized Store.
They're just so great.
Yeah, and what they do is they don't actually have built in units, but they just have
modular
Railings effectively and shelving. So when you have a funny space that a unit and a wardrobe won't fit into, you can actually make kind of freestanding units that don't have doors, that don't close.
And they don't have very many screw-in points. So what you need to do, that's called the Alpha system, which is brilliant, available from the Organized Store. There's also a similar version in IKEA called the Boaxle. And what it is it's one rail that screws in to the studs in your wall. So you need a stud locator to put that in. And then everything else clips onto that. It's very sturdy. It's very secure. It doesn't cause too much wall damage. And it's removable then. So if you're moving house, it's really flexible, really modular. That's what I have and I'd really recommend it. And then you have, you know, you clip in your baskets or your shelves or your clothes rails or whatever. You have a perfect wardrobe. And then what you can do is either have doors made to measure, wardrobe doors made to measure, or you could hang like a really nice curtain or something like that if it's not going to be possible to fit a door in.
The one thing I'll say about not having a door or something like that over it, it does gather dust.
Mm. Yeah, that's true.
That is the problem.
The curtain is a good idea. And of course, you can build in your own little curtain wires with eye hooks either end. And I've seen that done very creatively. It doesn't look very polished and finished, but it is quite practical.
Nice.
There's no escaping good carpentry skills.
Yeah. Absolutely.
When you're doing something like that.
Listener has built in wardrobes in their bedroom. They're sliding doors, but they've mirrors in the doors. Really don't like them. Can't afford them. Can't afford to take them out at the minute. Anyway, I can change them up without spending a fortune. That's the one thing I wanted. I wanted the slide rope
on the doors
with the mirrors.
Mm. That's what I love them,
But maybe you're just, space.
If we're all a bit sick of looking at ourselves sometimes. Maybe.
There is a bit of that when you're
there. Days where I avoid looking at it.
Another discussion. But
you don't have to rip out the entire thing. You can, you know, you can get something.
Change the door.
Done it. You could get something made to measure to fit over it, like a piece of MDF or something like that. Or you could buy the film that you put over glass. So if it's just the reflection that you don't like, you could get that frosted film or contact paper.
You can
apply it
now
on yourself.
Treat glass and mirrors and paint straight onto glass and mirrors. And that's available in all Expert Hardware stores. I can't remember the name, but if you go in and ask
hardware
them,
store,
they'll
get
tell
it.
You.
Great.
Yeah. Nice.
This texter has a gorgeous sideboard that's been handed down in the family for years. It's old oak, but they'd like to modernise it. Would I be mad to paint it, or what do you suggest?
Oh, I think upcycling is fantastic fun. It's very, very very therapeutic as well. Taking something that's old. Like, I try to do as much shopping around secondhand stores and thrift stores as I can for furniture as well as clothing. And I find, you know, it's actually quite straightforward to take something old, particularly if it's decent hardwood. There's some lovely old pieces out there that people are chucking out.
What would you recommend for painting over that? Like, what would you use?
Well, you sand. Treatment and preparation is everything.
Yeah,
obviously.
The thing about oak is as well, you can experiment with it. You're not going to ruin it. It's very easy to. You're only taking off a very, very tiny, tiny microscopic layer. So you can try it, paint it. And if you don't mind a bit of elbow grease and you don't like it, try it again. So you sand it down, you prime it. My favorite thing with those old oak hard sideboards or any furniture like that is the very matte chalk paint. So there's a brand called Annie Sloan. Absolutely amazing. A bit expensive, but you don't need much. And it does this beautiful chalky finish, which is a bit much for walls or big surfaces, but it looks amazing on
those
sideboards.
That's wax-based, I'd say, is it? Or is it?
I'm not sure what the base is, but it's a lovely chalky finish.
Lovely. I like that look.
087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp. This texter says, is there anything wrong with the sheet vinyl? I'm thinking of getting it for my new home. It could mean saving about $5,000 or more compared to the other types of flooring that's out there. I know I'm going to have to be extra careful moving furniture, but what's your advice?
It depends sheet on vinyl the brand flooring. And the type, you know, and the aesthetics and your own kind of sense of how it looks. I wouldn't have any opinion either way on that. I don't particularly. I always go for hardwoods on floors.
I actually have vinyl throughout the downstairs of my house. It's vinyl tiles, so it's slightly different to sheet vinyl. Sheet vinyl can rip a little bit, so it's really, you know, it's all about just checking the durability of the one you have. They've come on leaps and bounds. A lot of them are actually made from recycled materials now too. So if you have a sustainability mindset, that's a great one to look for. But just look for durability. There's nothing wrong with them. They come in great finishes. You can get a lovely finish, like
any hardware store
or anything. You need to go to a specialist flooring store for that.
Very much so. They don't do those really typically in hardware stores anymore.
This listener says the chimney breast from her sitting room comes up into one of the small bedrooms upstairs. It's the wardrobe of the bedroom, so takes out a huge part of that wardrobe, which has now left us with a tiny slip of a space between where the chimney wall and the wall for the landing outside meet. Any thoughts? The shelving that we mentioned. Any kind of just shelving storage?
Literally, again, it has to be custom. There's no way of buying bits and pieces for that. You just got to
measure. I did it and it didn't cost a fortune. It was actually one of the cheaper things I ended
and
up
if
doing.
And if I'm right in perceiving that, there's a wall either side. So all you really need is shelf studs, like little cheap shelf studs in both sides and then just cut correctly with the timber. And all you need is a bit of melamine or PAO or a little bit of hardwood and...
It could be perfect for shoe storage as well.
That's what
if
I use it for.
Just a little slot.
Kind of gives you the feel of having the walk-in wardrobe without, unfortunately, not having it. But I'll put a photo up of it maybe on Instagram a little later so that listener can check it out there. We've decided to take out our built-in wardrobes in the bedroom. It just doesn't suit the room. It's a big room. It looks quite bare though. So where do I start with taking them out or what can I expect to find behind them? God knows.
Well, your wall is probably going to need a bit of patchwork, I would imagine, because, you know, there's a lot goes into installing wardrobes.
Yeah, generally, I mean, when you pull it down, there's obviously going to be holes where the fixings went in. And if it is, did they say it was a stud wall? A partition wall?
No, they didn't say.
Well, depending on what kind of wall it is, the holes and the damage to the wall are going to be very different. But there's lots of, like, filling isn't as difficult. Plastering a whole wall is still a very specialist skill. Yeah. You're just not going to master that on YouTube. But smaller holes and smaller pieces of damage are a lot easier with more modern materials now. We've got much lighter fillers. Like, I don't know if you've ever used that Red Devil filler. Mm. It's like a godsend to me. It's just like you get it in a 2.5 litre tub and it feels like it's empty. That's how light the filler is.
Wow.
So it's very, very easy. It's inexpensive because obviously you don't need someone else to do it. And the big problem with filling holes is when you get the gloopy stuff and try and fill the hole, it billows out and you just it's a total mess. Whereas with the really light stuff, it's very easy to make
to spread.
It look professional.
Okay, just a final one here. I bought IKEA flat pack wardrobes. They're great, but they look so clunky in the room. They're just sat there oddly and they don't blend in. I'm starting to dislike them. Any thoughts? What can I do?
So many. First of all, you can swap out your handles. Really easy to install some hardware. That's an instant little uplift. And then the second thing is you can get, if you don't necessarily need an expert joiner for this one, a good carpenter or maybe a really good, you know, handy person would be perfect for this, and just get them to put a trim on it. So if there's a bit of a gap between the walls or, you know, the top and
good
the ceiling
thinking,
or something like that, you can get that fully built-in finished look.
Yeah,
and of course you can paint them.
You just buy it as one big sheet from IKEA, and you just get a cut. I'm saying this like I cut around it. I didn't, but I got somebody to do it for me. But you can do it, and
that's a DIY job
expensive.
Right there.
Yeah,
you know, if you get the right measurement, you know what the gap is, and you go and get a strip of timber. They come usually in 8 or 16 foot length.
You can do it that
way. Put it down yourself, pin it up, job done.
Colin Baker from Deckwell's Expert Hardware and Jennifer Sheehan, Irish columnist and former winner of Home of the Year. Thanks a million to you both for joining us on the Home Squad this Thursday.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan, weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
Every day, thousands of Comcast engineers and technologists like Leslie put people at the heart of everything they create.
With my team at Comcast, we developed the Xfinity Voice Remote and tested it to recognize different types of accents, inflections, and languages.
New movies?
Movies for kids.
Películas para las familias.
Now 40 million voice commands a day are heard by the Xfinity Voice Remote. Visit ComcastCorporation.com to learn more.